in their sorrows with the consolation we ourselves have received from God. When we were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. I invite you to please stand as we begin our service. You may be seated. On behalf of the family, I'd like to welcome all of you here. Thank you for coming and sharing this time. We are gathered to remember and to celebrate the life and influence of Dottie Bergeson. And we want to also support and surround and encourage her family as they grieve her death. As we gather, there's a reason that we gather in the sanctuary. Today is not only a day where we share stories and maybe shed some tears, but today is also a day that we remember the promises of God. We remember that Jesus is victorious over sin and over death, that he came on Christmas Day that we were just celebrated a couple of weeks ago. He came into our world in order that death and sin and all the power of the enemy might be defeated. And he has accomplished that. And so we gather in the sanctuary to praise God, to celebrate the life that he has given, not only the life that we enjoy here on earth, but the promise of eternal life in his presence forever. A couple of announcements before we get started. After the service today, we'll be moving into the fellowship hall where we will enjoy lunch and fellowship together. And you are all invited to share in that time. The family would look forward to the opportunity to visit with you and reminisce and to personally thank you for being here. We also, then following our lunch, will go up to Spirit Lake for the graveside committal service, and you are also welcome to join us at that time. But we want to thank you for your presence here today and for your fellowship, not only today, but through the years with both Dottie and Russ. I'd like to read through the obituary. It is printed in your bulletin, or your funeral leaflet. And if you'd like to follow along, please do so. Dorothy J. Jane Stroud, the daughter of Roy and Minnie Stroud, was born on June 4th, 1930, near Ocheyedan, Iowa. She attended rural school near Ocheyedan and graduated from Harris High School. She went on to college, graduating with a degree in education from Drake University in 1952, and began her teaching career in Ventura for a year, and then at Ocheyedan. She taught typing, bookkeeping, and shorthand. Dorothy married Russell Bergson on January 1, 1953, in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Russell had been in a serious motorcycle accident, so they were married in the hospital chapel. Russ remained in the hospital for several more months as Dorothy returned to teaching in Ocheyedan. In 1956, they moved outside of Round Lake, Minnesota, to farm. And there they were blessed with the births of three children, Gayla, Bill, and Ryan. During that time, they loved getting together with neighbors and friends to play cards or square dance. In 1963, they moved into a new home in Lake Park, Iowa. Dorothy, by that time, was teaching in Harris. She taught junior high English, typing, and home economics. In 1965, they moved to a farm south of Harris, and Dorothy's parents moved into the house in Lake Park. During that time, she went back to teaching in Ocheyedan half days. She continued to teach until 1974. After retiring from farming, Dorothy and Russell bought an RV and started traveling. In 2000, they decided to sell their acreage and become full-time RVers. They spent their winters in McAllen, Texas, and camped at Senla Campground in Spirit Lake, Iowa, for the summers. When in Iowa, Dorothy and Russ enjoyed volunteering at the garage sale in Milford, golfing, and attending church. They traveled all over the U.S. and spent many fun times with friends in Texas. In 2011, they stopped going to Texas and settled down at Courtyard Estates in Spirit Lake, Iowa. They were members of Harbor of Joy Lutheran Church in Milford, Iowa. Dorothy moved into Keelson Harbor in 2016 and enjoyed the staff and the friends she made there. Dorothy loved sewing, needlework, playing the piano, reading, and golfing. She always enjoyed watching her children and later her grandchildren's activity in sports. At the age of 42, she learned to play golf. She spent much time in golf league and playing in tournaments. She even won the Women's Lake Park Golf Tournament one year, as well as several tournaments in Twin Palms, Texas. She especially enjoyed the years of traveling, meeting people, and playing cards. Dottie passed away January 4th, 2026. Dorothy was preceded in death by her parents, Roy and Minnie Stroud, her husband, Russell, and her grandson, Wesley Bergeson. She is survived by her children, Gayla and Tim Plegencool, William Bill Bergeson, Ryan and Cheryl Bergeson, grandchildren Jason and Lindsay Plegencool, Kyle Plegencool, Caitlin and Jason Elvis, Kristen Bergeson and Faith and Josh McDaniel, great-grandchildren Jackson and Liam Plegencool, Addie and Macy Elvis, and Bethany and Waylon McDaniel. Blessed be her memory as we gather to celebrate her life. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your assurance that even though this body may grow old, even though this body may fail, we thank you for your promise that you provide us with a new body. You provide us with eternal life. That you have given us the opportunity, the reassurance that our sins are forgiven, and that we can come into your presence. We commend Dottie into your care, and we thank you for those promises. We pray now that you would comfort and reassure this family and these friends with that knowledge, that not only have you provided for Dottie's eternal life, but that you also have made provision for our eternal life. Help us to trust and to believe in Jesus' name. Amen. As I read over the obituary, that is the official accounting of Dottie's life, but it's incomplete. Now we want to hear some of memories and reminiscing from the family as they read letters from her children. We'll ask some of the grandchildren to come up and share with us. Oh, Jason will be first. Sure. Yeah. Well, let's see. There's a microphone down here. Yep, this microphone.
Everyone hear me? Great. This is a letter from Gayla, Dorothy's firstborn and only daughter. It's titled, What My Mom Taught Me. My mom was a teacher her whole life. She taught in several schools, but the lessons she taught me have shaped and molded me. I thought I'd share some of the things I learned with you today. My mom taught me to love music. Every morning when we woke up, we would hear mom whistling or singing in the kitchen. It was such a nice way to wake up. She loved music, was talented at playing the piano, and was a good singer. We even have vinyl records of her singing songs. I grew up not with children's songs being sung to me, but old show tunes. I knew the words of songs from Meet Me in St. Louis, Carousel, South Pacific, and Oklahoma at an early age. My love of musicals has continued to this day. My mom had a thing for laundry. She would wake me up early on Saturday mornings to go down in the basement and start soaking clothes in big tubs to be put through the wringer washer, carried outside and put on the clothesline. What felt like a chore back then is one of my favorite memories. She then would iron absolutely everything. Until the day she died, my mom insisted on doing at least a part of her own laundry. I have to confess that I still love doing laundry. My mom taught me to cook. I was expected to help mom cook all day long to feed the men working in the fields. We would run food out to the fields mid-morning and afternoon, and then serve a full hot meal at noon. The men would all eat, and then we could eat whatever was left. She taught me how to serve and put others before myself. Mom often told me how she did not like to cook. My mom taught me how to sew. Growing up, we made a lot of our own clothes. She was very skilled in sewing and passed on her love to me. We made everything from dresses, shirts, coats, and pants. She also loved crafts. She was very skilled in crocheting and counted cross stitch until her loss of vision took that away from her. My mom taught me how to clean. As I grew up, I watched her fight a never-ending war with dust from the gravel road out front to crickets in our old basement. She was always cleaning something, and I was included in most of that. The day before mom died, we had to transfer her into a hospital bed. In order to do that, we had to move furniture out of the room. Even in her very weak state, she told us to be sure and vacuum the area where the furniture had been. My mom taught me to love our family. Her love for her family was all-encompassing. She always showed up when we needed her, taking care of our boys. My parents attended all of my school functions and later would go to my boys' basketball games when they were up north for the summer. She always wanted to know what her grandchildren and great-grandchildren were doing. The one thing she made my brothers and I promise her at the end was to be sure to continue our relationships with each other. She knew the importance and need for family to stick together. Those are the greatest loves in our lives. My mom taught me how to love Jesus. She introduced me to Jesus at a young age and demonstrated his love to me. As she grew older, her faith deepened and she expressed it more. I have always believed in Jesus, but in my 30s, I recommitted my life to him. My mom was the first person I called, and we celebrated together. These last few months, we have had the opportunity to share our doubts, our joys, our wondering, what the future holds with each other, and encourage each other. She was excited to see what heaven would be like and to see my dad. Lastly, my mom taught me how to persevere. It was hard to watch her lose her eyesight and struggle with the smallest tasks. She suffered through a painful knee and sore joints without complaint. She was always gracious with the staff and anyone who came to see her. She would never forget to thank them and wish them a day where they wouldn't work too hard. She faced her death with a deep trust in God and courage. My mom taught me how to live life in the present and how to face the future. Her lessons will stick with me until I can see her again and thank her. She ended every conversation with, "I love you so much." So I say to you, Mom, I love you so much.
All right, my name is Kate Canny, and I have the privilege of reading from Bill, Dorothy's second son and second child, oldest son. He says, I want to thank everyone for coming here today to honor the life of our mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. My mom's dear friends at Harbor of Joy have been so loving and loyal to her. I especially want to thank Bobby Berry, Linda Johnson, and Nancy Letcher. They regularly visited Mom at Kilson Harbor to encourage her, pray with her, sing hymns, and share communion. When they were together, I could feel the Holy Spirit in the room. It was a beautiful thing to watch, and I had to hold back the tears. I want to thank the staff at Kielsen Harbor, especially the aides that attended to her everyday needs. They are so loving and kind. I want to thank them as God's earthly angels. One of the aides, Sarah, had lost her own mother 2 years ago. I watched her speak gently and caress Mom's face and hair while slowly giving her pain medication. I want to thank all of Mom's friends who would call or stop by occasionally to say hi. She loved having guests and liked to stay up to date on what was happening in people's lives. When the COVID virus hit in 2020, I was concerned about Mom during lockdown at Kielsen. I started calling her every day to see how she was doing and discuss daily events. This turned into a trend that lasted over 5 years. I quickly learned if I missed a day, she worried something had happened to me. So the phone calls became a part of our daily routine, and I am so thankful for them. And I know she was too. My mom and I grew even closer, which was a blessing. She was more than a mother to me, she was a best friend. Mom and I celebrated Christmas Day together at Kielsen. She told me that she knew she would be gone soon. We were very open about her pending death and what joy it would be to go to heaven. Her dying wish is that Gayla, Ryan, and I keep in touch and see each other every once in a while. I live in Iowa, Gayla lives in Minnesota, and Ryan lives in South Carolina. It may not be easy, but we will need to make this a point to do this. My mom would say, I don't know why God has allowed me to live this long. I can't do anything anymore. I told her it's because you are a blessing to so many and are loved so very much. She spent her life devoted to God and her family. I knew that Gayla and Ryan and I would agree that we couldn't have asked for a better mom. She was always concerned about her kids. 2 days before she passed, I was giving her a shoulder and back rub to ease her pain, and she asked me, "Are you getting tired?" That, in a nutshell, was my mom. So sweet and concerned about others before herself. She lived her life with dignity and grace and departed the same way. I will greatly miss her until we meet again.
Good morning. Thank you everyone for being here to celebrate the beautiful life of my grandma Dottie. My name is Caitlin, and this is from my dad, Ryan Bergeson, who's the baby of the family. I think we can all agree my mom was a very special lady and was the sweetest and the best mom a child could have. Mom instilled in us a love for God and for family. The one thing my mom made us all promise was to still get together when she's gone. So Bill and Gayla, I tell you what, we will rent the beach house and y'all come on down. Mom loved teaching us the things she loved doing. I remember as kids sitting in the living room with Mom, spools of yarn and needles in hand, knitting slippers and scarves. She tried to give us the joy of playing the piano. We went to piano lessons, but the only song I know is Do Re Mi from The Sound of Music. Mom sat on the floor and we hit notes on a toy piano until we figured it out. I still play that song and I think of her. I don't know if she liked gardening, but we all pitched in and she led the way each spring making straight rows and planting a variety of vegetables and fruits. Her favorite thing was planting flowers. Knowing that she loved flowers, I remember pulling dandelions out of the ditch and giving them to her like I was her little man. I had a stuffed monkey that I would beat up when I was mad at my brother. Mom sewed the head back on several times and would comfort me saying, "You just wait. Someday you'll be bigger than your brother." Dad's still waiting for that day, Uncle Bill. When I joined the Navy, I told Mom and Dad, "Catch you later," as I got on the plane. Mom told me later she really liked that because it made her feel like I wouldn't be gone that long. Sorry. When I was told last October that Mom was getting worse, we looked into flights. She found out we were trying to come, but we warned her that we might have to delay until later. She said, "Oh, that makes me sad." That was all it took. We booked the next flight out, and I'm so glad that we did. We got to talk about heaven and Jesus, played cards, and although she was weak and didn't say a whole lot, she loved being surrounded by the sound of her kids talking. "Mom, we know you're in good hands and waiting to see us again. Catch you later. We love you much." And I just wrote a little something for myself. One thing is for sure, Grandma did not leave any of us questioning her love for us. Even from 1,100 miles away, she made it a point to be involved in our lives and my kids' lives. Every birthday, she reminded me, "I was there the day you were born." And I told her I knew because my mom had told me that she was ready for them to go home. they stayed for a while. I truly believe if everyone loved the way that Grandma Dottie loved everyone around her, the world would be a better place. We mourn a huge loss on earth, but she was so excited to meet Jesus and see Grandpa again.
My chains are gone, I've been My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word, my hope.
Hope I was loud enough before. I'll be quieter this time. Our second reading is from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 25 through 29. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for these verses that we have heard, and we now turn our attention to listen for your voice. We pray that you would provide comfort and strength for family and friends. We thank you for the example that we have had in Dottie, and we pray that as we go through this difficult time of saying goodbye, help us to trust in your promise, to know that one day we will be reunited again. One day we will be in your presence, and one day your promises will be fulfilled. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it was 9 years ago this month that many of us were gathered together in this very sanctuary. We gathered for another service. It was Russ Bergeson's funeral. It's hard to believe that that has already been 9 years. That time flies by so quickly, but here we are again, celebrating another life and remembering the influence of Dottie, her words, her prayers, the power of her influence has touched many of you, has made a difference in your life. You have heard some stories, and I'm sure you would have many more stories to tell of ways that Dottie's influence has made an impact on your life. I want to let you in on a little secret. Even if you may have stories to tell of how Dottie touched your life, there are many more ways that you're probably not aware of. Behind the scenes, she has been praying for you. In her time alone, in her time of prayer, in her time at Keelson Harbor, in her time of fellowship with God, your name probably came up. Your situation was probably brought before the throne of God. I know she prayed for me. She told me that when I was pastor here at Harbor of Joy and when Bev and I were on our mission trips in West Africa, she said that she had been praying for us, and I believe her. That she was thinking of us, that she was praying of us. For us, she prayed for her family, she prayed for her congregation, she prayed for her community, she prayed for our leaders, for our nation. Even in those times where she may have felt helpless, that she was growing too old and separated by too much distance, that she wouldn't be able to provide much help or assistance, she did what she could. She turned to the one who she knew had the power to intervene, the one who was ready and willing to work on behalf of her loved ones. She turned to God. She trusted that he had the power to do something about it. Even if she didn't, she knew that God could be at work. She knew that God was able to move mountains in your life. And in whatever situation our community or world may have been facing. And Dottie was ready and willing to turn to God on behalf of the people that she cared about. I know that her prayers and influence had an impact on her husband's life. Her prayers and influence had an impact on her children's life. Her prayers and influence, I'm sure, had an impact on her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. Her prayers and influence had an impact on her friends, her family, her community, her church, and on many of you. She was praying for you and thinking about you. And today we remember her life and we celebrate her influence. Tomorrow we're going to go back to our daily activities, whether it be work or school or wherever our daily routine might take us. And before we know it, another 9 years might pass by. Time goes by quickly. And it's easy for us to get caught up in our daily routine and just move from one day to another, and pretty soon those days accumulate and turn into weeks and months and years. But in moments like this, God intervenes. There's an interruption to our daily routine, and suddenly work or school or whatever other thing might be on our schedule, suddenly those things get set aside because we need to be here. We need to pause. We need to remember. We need to listen to what God has to say. That this is important. So we break our routine. We break our daily pattern. And we come to hear what God has to say in moments like this. Moments of life and death. Moments where the psalmist talks about where we might walk through the valley of the shadow of death, where we stand in the presence of death and we take an accounting of our life, where we've been, where we're going, and what's important. And there are moments like this where I think there are some things that both Dottie and Russ would like to tell us. This week I met with my confirmation class. Last Wednesday, I have a class of six kids from sixth grade through eighth grade, and we're studying the Old Testament. We're going through an overview of the Old Testament. And this week, we happen to be talking about Moses and Joshua. And there were some things that I wanted to impress upon my confirmation kids, and they coincide very well with our thoughts as we face death today. Moses and Joshua both had the opportunity to lead the children of Israel through some significant moments of history. There were ups and downs, there were joys and sorrows and celebrations and challenges. Moses had the opportunity to lead the people out of slavery in Egypt. He faced the powerful king of Egypt, Pharaoh, who defied God, who would not listen to God, who would not let the people go. And Moses was with the people as the plagues of the judgment of God fell on Egypt. Moses was not intimidated by the threats of Pharaoh. He reassured the Israelites that God's power, that God's protection was going to be over them. They need not be afraid. He led them through the darkness of Passover. He led them through the Red Sea as it opened up in front of them. He led them out of Egypt and into the wandering in the wilderness. He led them as they received the Ten Commandments from God at Mount Sinai. And he continued to trust God, even through difficult days, even through doubts, even in those moments where the people of Israel grumbled against him and against God. And he led the people right up to the banks of the Jordan River. And God reassured him that after 50 years of leading the people, that he would see the promised land, but he would not be able to enter it. That he brought them to the brink of the promised land, but at that point his work would be done. He would relinquish leadership to Joshua, and then Moses would die at 120 years old. He trusted that God knew what he was doing. He trusted that God would be with the people even if he wasn't. And these are some of his last words from Deuteronomy chapter 30. He assures the people, "The word of God is very near you. It is in your mouth, it is in your heart, that you might obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commandments, decrees, and laws, and then you will live and increase, and the Lord our God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you that this day you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. That this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers." But at the end of his life, Moses called the people to a moment of decision, that this day you have a choice to make. This day and tomorrow and the next day and each day of your life, you have a choice to make. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to follow? And Moses says, choose life. Choose to serve your God. Choose to listen to his voice and to follow where he leads. Listen to him and follow him and trust him. And I believe that both Russ and Dottie would urge you to follow that same advice. As Moses says, the Lord is your life. He is the one who is ever faithful. He is the one who hears your prayers. He is the one who is willing to guide and lead you through every day of your life here on earth. But I also mentioned that there was another life that we looked at, the life of Joshua. And there are some lessons that we can learn from Joshua as well. That Joshua led the people after Moses died. He took them across the Jordan River into the promised land, and he took them all over the land of Canaan. They were entering into the land that had been promised to Abraham hundreds of years before, and now the children of Israel were going to take possession of that land. But there were some people who already lived there, the Canaanites. And if the Israelites wanted that land, they were going to have to fight for it. So we have lessons about the Battle of Jericho. We have lessons of other battles where the children of Israel had to face the enemy, had to listen to God and trust him as they faced adversity in this life. One of those stories was the story of the walls of Jericho, that city looked unconquerable, that the city walls were too big, too thick, too strong. And yet God told them how they could defeat Jericho. It didn't make sense, but Joshua listened. The strategy was to march around Jericho for 7 days, and then on the seventh day, march around that city 7 times, and then the ram's horn would be blown, and everybody yell as loud as you can. It didn't make sense. But when the people listened, when they obeyed, the walls of Jericho came crumbling down. And the people of Israel took possession of that land. There were many other battles. And eventually the children of Israel took possession of the land of Canaan. They celebrated that God had given them the promised land. And at the end of the book of Joshua, we hear these words. Joshua is now 110 years old. He says, "I am very old. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord God has done. For your sake, it was the Lord God who fought for you. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with the nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done until now. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. And now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises of the Lord your God has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors that you worshipped beyond the Euphrates and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." That Joshua's message is very much the same as Moses. He says, today you have a decision to make. Tomorrow you'll have a decision to make. And every day after that you'll have a decision to make. Are you going to follow the ways of this world? Are you going to follow the influences of worldly temptations? Or are you going to listen and follow the way of God? Are you going to trust the God of our creation? Or are you going to listen to the gods of this world? At 120 years old, Moses proclaimed that this day I call heavens and earth as witness against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Now choose life. At 110 years old, Joshua told us, choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now Russ was only 90, and Dottie's only 95. But I think they would offer some of the same advice. Choose this day who you're going to serve. Commit yourself to the Lord your God. Follow him, pray to him, listen to him, trust him, obey him. You never know how many more days you're going to get. You don't know if you'll get another chance. That Russ and Dottie made the choice years ago. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for your help. You have provided friends and family. You've provided the influence of mentors and teachers. You have been active in our lives, giving us the opportunity to hear and to respond to your word. We pray that you would help us to listen and to obey. We thank you for the influence and the prayers of faithful people. People who care about us, people who shared their lives and their testimony with us. We ask that you would help us now to be ready and willing to share our testimony and our advice and our love and our influence with the people who will follow us. Help us to be faithful. Lord, we pray that as we go from this place, that you would continue to encourage, continue to put people in our lives that care about us. And we pray that even though here on earth, Dottie may no longer be among us, we thank you for the promise that we have that one day we will see her again as we put our trust in you. We thank you for this day, and we pray for all those days yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen. But please join me as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant, Dottie Bergeson. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. Please stand and receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is "To God Be the Glory." The words will be on the screen. His life and I.
has taught.